to let you serve.
Blog Talk Radio.
Come on,
fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
Mr. Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Never gets old.
Talking sports with the 12th man in the state.
Yes, sir. We're going to be calmer today. Folks.
I was going to say, I don't know if we're
going to rock,
necessarily. But see, I was going to say, America, download last week's episode, because that was one of the funnest episodes I've been on in a while, man. That was just straight, like, hilarious,
yeah,
man, to see us just back and forth, Jeff jumping on. It was like a smorgasbord of just interesting, but fun times for sure. But,
yes,
America,
sir.
if you want to get a slice of what it's like to kind of have all perspective, check out last week's episode. That was fun. But also, we would like to tune it in to have fun, too. But again, welcome to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Today is July the 19th. We are officially ready to kick this thing off. We've got a lot of things to discuss. And as always, let me check in with my co-hosts, some guys I would never trade for cash considerations. Let's talk about my first guy,
thanks,
Mr. JQ. How you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I can't complain. I finally got me some rest after, walking around and cutting the food down there in Florida. I'm good to go now, man. Ready to talk some sports with my homeboys.
Finally got
about
all that alcohol out of your system, right?
Hey, you calm down.
Relax.
We got a sober JQ this week, America. No partying in South Beach and drinking the mojitos and the Cubans.
Hey, man, the mojitos was everything.
I told you he's sober.
Oh, my goodness. That other voice that you hear, America, is the voice of our antagonist, Mr. Robert Ford. How you feeling today, Rob?
Yeah, somebody has to play that role and all to have an effective show. But,
everything's going
great. Got a little Thai food in me tonight. Good meal in, brother, feel good.
Ooh, I like Thai. What you have?
Some pad thai.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I had to kick it up a notch. I'm from New Orleans, so you got to kick up the spice. So I had to go up about 10 notches.
Oh, Lord, you were trying to burn the whole roof of your mouth off.
You got it. You know it.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
You know it.
There are no words for that, ladies and gentlemen. But let's kind of kick it off like we always like to do.
We got to.
We knew we were going to talk about the 8, man, but it's always a fun thing, too. But let's throw out the numbers. If you always want to reach out, so I'm hoping some way, somehow, that Jeff and we'll talk about Mike in a quick second, JK, to figure out where they are. I know you talked about him doing some moving and shaking, but if you want to reach out to you boys, that number is always at 424-243-9519. That's the number to call into the show. If you want to follow us on Twitter, at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, on Facebook, I'm working on the website too, but we'll talk about that later. But if you want to follow us on Facebook, it's facebook.com/12thmansports. Or if you put in Talking Sports with the 12th Man, you will find your boys in that arena as well. All right, gentlemen, let's kick this party off. And I'm not quite sure what Rob meant out with Michael Vick and Colin Kaepernick. So, Rob. There's a lot of catch words that we can talk about this, but you're on, man. What's up with this, man?
I'm Big Mike from the Blind Side. Where you at, Big Mike?
Yeah, he been traveling.
See it like Sandra Bullock.
Big
Mike. Yeah, he's been on the road. He's been on the road for work this week, so he's taking it easy tonight.
But. Very interesting comments, obviously, this week made by Michael Vick in regards to Colin Kaepernick. And, hearing a lot of people in the media respond, some in favor of the comments Michael Vick made and some not in favor of the comments Michael Vick made. And I think I'm kind of somewhere torn. You know, I think some of the comments I think he made I agree with, some I disagree with. So I guess I'm somewhere in the middle in this. First of all, I don't think the reason why Kaepernick doesn't have a contract with a team has anything to do with his hair. And that's just my opinion. I know Michael Vick says he needs to get a haircut and, you know, change his image a little bit. But I still believe that the reason why he's not with an NFL team is because of his protests with the national anthem. And he would have to be an A-plus star quarterback in order to overcome that, in my personal opinion.
Yep.
And
I agree.
If you look at some of the quarterbacks that have contracts in the NFL right now, have not – Kaepernick's last two seasons were not stellar, but it's still better than a lot of quarterbacks that still have contracts in the National Football League. Mark Sanchez still has a contract in the National Football League. Kellen Moore still has a contract in the National Football League. Who's the guy Seattle signed over him? Most of
like
America
Austin
can't
Davis
remember his
or
name.
Something like that?
Yeah,
Austin
Davis.
Davis,
there you go. Come on. Uh-oh. How does he have a contract over Kaepernick? Chase Daniel still has a contract in the National Football League. I mean, the list, I can go on and on here. We can spend the entire show. Josh McCown, Luke
Blaine
McCown.
Gabbert.
Yeah, Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Second coming, the second
New
coming.
New York Jets quarterback roster.
Right.
I mean, everybody that's on the Cleveland Brown quarterback roster.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the Houston Texans quarterback roster.
I mean,
we can spend a whole episode just talking about this. So, to me, the bottom line is I still don't think it's about his hair. It's really about the protests of the national anthem. And he's just, like I said, he's going to have to take an A-plus. He has to be an A-plus quarterback to overcome that. And I understand some of the comments that Vic made, but I still, you know, I don't know if he was in the right place to make those kind of comments. Even though I think he's probably for the most part done a stellar job changing his image, you know, after the dog fighting fiasco. And, I think still remember him as that, and so I think that's why most of America really couldn't receive his comments, even though I think everybody deserves to be forgiven and given a second chance. But I just personally believe, like I said, it has nothing to do with his hair. I still think it's about the protests of the national anthem. And like I said, you have to put up numbers like Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, or Tom Brady to overcome that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get my thoughts together about it because I remember when we first talked about it and I was like, yeah, you know, you shouldn't do that because the message is going to be lost in the nil and the people are not going to even receive what you're saying because of that. But I find myself getting much more militant as the time goes on. And the thing is, it is about the hair. It's about all of it. In the fact that they feel like he's not doing that and he's not showing any contrition about what he did. And I don't think he should show any. You know, it comes to the point where what kind of protest is going to be acceptable? First of all, protest is supposed to make you uneasy. That, you know, that's just in the definition of the word. So you're not going to have protests where people feel good about it. But, you know, he didn't loot, he didn't riot, he didn't punch nobody, he didn't set anything on fire, he didn't cuss anybody out. He took a peaceful knee. Like, if you can't take a peaceful knee, that's, you know, it's akin to like a sin or something like that. You're not doing anything really wrong. You're not, you know, walking and marching in the street and blocking traffic. He's not doing literally any of that. And you have him out here for all the players to ride this minute, and he's still sitting there without a job. So, Michael Vick's message to me was that he was supposed to show some kind of contrition and, you know, like, you know, my bad, I, you know, let me redo my image and make sure I get a job. And I'm like, no, I mean, he didn't do anything wrong. If he wants to wear afro, if some of the white dudes can wear bullets, why can't he wear an afro? To me, it's the whole package. It's the whole package of what he did. And the flip side of that is, you know, none of the owners have seen a silver line in what he's done and saying, okay, we can bring this guy in. He may not be the biggest star anymore, but he could definitely be the backup on my team. And he can make us, you know, have some outward initiatives from the team to the community and shine a greater light on it and do some positive. And how great would that make them look if somebody took that step forward to say, you know, we're going to bring him in here, warts and all, so that he can also make a difference in the community as well, because we're the NFL. We do all these NFL Cares commercials saying that we, you know, the community matters to us. But, you know, show that it also matters to you, to the black community as well. Bringing him in, I think, would be a very positive step in that direction. You're going to piss some of the people off, but you tell them we're doing this for this particular reason. And, you know, if you're not about that life and that train of thought of us bringing together and just hating, then, you know, do we really want to be associated with you anyway? You know, that's choosing the money over – you know, morals at this point. And it's just, it's really sickening, to be honest with you. But they're so huge that they're going to continue to roll along, and he's not going to be able to stop that train. But I think they're missing an opportunity, and they're definitely, to me, them and Michael Vick are way out of bounds.
Yeah. Wow. Rob, anything else before I do my little thought process here on this, Rob?
Well, I think another thing about this Kaepernick situation that's kind of lost, and I went back and forth on whether or not I agreed with them on the protest or not. And I think there was part of me that did, part of me that did not. But I think what's lost in all of this is what he's done for so many charities here in the last year. Mm-hmm. And the amount of monies that he's donated to a variety of charities at that. I mean, I don't even have a list in front of me. But, I mean, Colin Kaepernick has given, seemed like, over $1 million to $2 million to several organizations and charities over the last year. I mean, you can almost make a case that he's been a model citizen mm-hmm. for a lot of the things he's done toward a lot of charities. So it's very unfortunate that the NFL has, you know, somewhat blackballed him. And
mm-hmm.
but yeah,
no,
I think you know, it's unfortunate that they can only look at that, you know, protest. And they can't really look at a lot of the good has been done that he has done. And, I mean, like I said, we just went through the list of quarterbacks that still have a job in the NFL. I mean, come on, that's, you know, other than maybe 20 to 25 starting quarterbacks in the league, the rest of the quarterbacks in the NFL is not as good as Colin Kaepernick. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, and real right fast before you jump in, Drake, I think the one thing that hurts him beyond that is when you know, he came out and said, well, I didn't vote, and he gave a lame reason. When you're saying that you're
yeah.
doing, you know, for activism, and voting is just at the national level, if you're saying you're trying to make something happen, you know, the most things that you can affect are your local and your state government. So not voting is a step backwards from what he was preaching. So that, to me, that is a misstep for him, and that might be hurting him as well. But overall, yeah, there's no some way, I don't think. I'll take it a step further. He has been blackballed.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I knew it was something that took me off of his stance, and that was it. When he did that, you know, it just totally messed up his protest.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to use the word, like you said, JQ, you said militant, and the fact is, you know, anytime that you make a stand or make a protest, there's certain things. Because think about it, gentlemen. If he was trying to make this stance and somebody says, hey, we'll give you a contract, but you got to cut your hair, blah, 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 it's just going to go against everything, you know, he stood for. So, you know, if you're calling, I mean, mm-hmm. you know, I get it. You know, Michael Vick says, hey, you know, you should do this. And Colin, he's not gonna turn back. He's like, I'm already here, you know. And Rob, you absolutely nailed it. The fact, if he was Aaron Rodgers or if he was, you know, a Tom Brady, you know, we wouldn't be having this conversation. You can do whatever you want. I mean, you know, Allen Iverson was pretty much doing what he did. He was like, I'm going to be this guy. And I'm going to have cornrows. And it definitely shocked
practice.
The NBA. I know we're kind of like, yeah, I know we're going to different contexts, but for the way he was able to do, like, he literally changed the way that, you know, the NBA was perceived. So, you know, again, for Colin,
he's the reason why they have a dress code now.
Oh, that's another conversation, too. Mm-hmm. But, again, for Colin, I mean, it's just tough because the fact of the matter is, you know, again, if he was a better quarterback, and he's better than those quarterbacks you mentioned, too, but most teams are going to have their quarterback as the leader of their organization, of their franchise, you know, number one. So, again, if you're putting Colin up, there's a lot of, you know, still backlash of, you know, what happened. So, again, most owners aren't willing to take the risk. They don't have the balls to say, hey, this is our guy. you know, maybe he's a second string guy, but even still, it's still kind of questionable. So they're just hoping that it kind of blows by, maybe 1 or 2 years. Colin, hopefully you're still practicing, bro, and maybe you'll get your shot, you know, as a backup later down the road. But again, right now, it's still too soon from my perspective, 100% too. I mean, he's not going to change his stance. Even a quarterback, excuse me, even if the owner said, hey, you know, cut your hair, blah, 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 that's another way they're going to be like, I got you. You know, he's not going to fall for that 1-2. That's just me.
Anyway. And you got teams that are still contacting Johnny Manziel. I mean, like, for real? Johnny Manziel is still getting contacted by teams about, you know, possibly bringing him in for a training camp trial, and Colin is still on the street. Like, it's ridiculous.
100% true. All right, we'll talk about that. Good stuff. All right. I was going to talk about your boy. What's up with Ezekiel Elliott, Ra, or JQ? So stay tuned about this because
Lord,
we are going to talk about Dak and how will he perform it. And I'll say this. If you would have told me earlier, if Dak didn't have any distractions, I would say that, you know, he has a good option. He's still going to hit it like a sophomore slump a little bit just because the league is going to start having tape on him. But I definitely think the stuff with Ezekiel Elliott is not helping 100%. And I don't know what's happening with that. You know, you're still pretty young, and Zeke's kind of acting like this. I apologize to say this, JQ. He's kind of acting like he's made it, and he's going to get put in this place really quickly. So if he doesn't kind of reel it in. So I think this is definitely going to affect the Cowboys, and, you know, this is why we can't have nice things, man. I'm going to say that too. But what do you think about this, JQ, and your thoughts, man?
Well, let me just address Ezekiel Elliott and anybody that knows him or if he's listening for some chance. These words, man, go sit down. Go sit down and relax. You don't have to be everywhere. I understand you had a great season. You got you some money. You know, the chicks are all over you. I get all of that. But, dude, you got to find Tinder or something where you can meet a chick online and have her come to the crib and stay at home and drink it at the bar at your house. Stop it. I'm sorry you're young, but you can't live that young lifestyle. You got to grow up. You are the star running back for the Dallas Cowboys. What your homeboys can do that didn't get drafted, you can't do. You got to relax. Okay. That I'm off that from him because he's just killing me with that foolishness. But that first time.
Won't you say it like Nemo Brown said in New Jack City?
No, I'm not going to do it. But
come on, man.
No,
I don't want to say it. I want you to say it.
No, I believe that to you. But as far as that goes, you're right. And you can see that towards the end of last year where the tape started to catch up with him and they weren't just able to bludgeon people with a running game and a short passing game where he wasn't taking a lot of chances. He's going to have to open that thing up. But he said something, and I don't know if you heard it, that kind of took me off guard. Where they asked him about Zeke and being in the ESPN, the body issue, and he said, you know, I wish he would just use his talents for something good, you know, to promote a charity or something like that. And I was like, Dak, why would you not just tell him that in private? Like, I didn't really agree with that, but I think that might be stemming from, you know, what Zeke is doing, and he's seeing it firsthand, like, this dude here, man, I just can't. And he decided to use that platform, and I was more upset with him before. I heard this latest about with Zeke, and I was like, okay, now I know where that's coming from. He's trying to be the quarterback, and like, you know, I've tried to talk to this dude in private, so now I'm going to use some kind of issue that's come up to put the pressure on him, so to speak. So since he's not taking private criticism and talking well, I'm going to do it publicly. So I'm going to backtrack off the way I felt that earlier. And I think he's showing those QB intangibles that you want from your quarterback to be the leader of your team. I mean, the quarterback and the head coach are the two most important really on that team, outside, of course, maybe like the GM who puts it together. But in terms of day-to-day interaction, those two guys are the barometer and the leaders of the team. So, I mean, he's going to have to open it up. I think he's still got his head on straight, but he's going to have to open it up and show the league that he'll take a little bit more chances going more down the field to a Dez Bryant, so to speak, and not worrying about, you know, 3 yards in the collar just with Zeke and hitting Cole Beasley out the slot on third and four to keep the chains moving. And those are all great things, but you got to loosen that defense up too, and I think defenses towards the end, especially in the playoffs, started to realize he wasn't going to take those chances downfield. So the ball is in his court in that piece, but I can't be mad at him. But Zeke, bro, you got to relax.
Mm-hmm. Some Buckeyes for you.
Hey, you watch out. You got a team full of them.
Man.
You can keep my bourbon street.
Oh.
Oh, man.
Hey, really quick, hey, Rob, photo, yeah. Rob. Hey, before you talk about that, a Ohio State player, a LSU player, and a Florida player are in the car. Who's driving?
Oh, wow. I have no idea.
Rob?
LSU.
The cops. There he goes. Keep it going.
Oh,
man.
Come on, man.
There it is. That could be applied to any school, man. That could be applied to any school, man. There you go. All right. That's because you guys are talking junk, man. Keep it going. Keep it going. Rob, talk about
LSU.
Talk
players
about,
are leaders, man. We would be the driver.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be leading the drunk driver.
There it is. LSU is my team, though, so JQ, so just keep that up. All right, go ahead, Rob. Yeah, go ahead, man.
Well, I think I think JQ obviously covered the Zeke Elliott, but when you look at Dak Prescott and him going into his second season as quarterback for the Cowboys, I think there will be some kind of drop-off this year for a simple reason that Andre mentioned. There's going to be more film on him. Teams will have all summer to be able to prepare for him, things of that nature. So they'll have better game plans for him. I think he'll still remain a Cowboys quarterback and still has the potential to get better going forward. But I do think it's just the obvious drop-off from that first year to second year with more film on him. Obviously, I don't think any teams went into the season preparing for Dak Prescott as a starting quarterback for the Cowboys going into last season. So obviously I think that could have helped him a little bit, but also he really overcame a lot of odds. So I think we mentioned last week, I still expect the Cowboys to be a wild card team in the playoffs, but I do expect a little bit of a drop off from some of the production he had last year. I think he's really going to have to rely on that running game again and a strong offensive line. But I expect him to make a few more mistakes than what he made on last season.
Yeah,
Zeke to get a Kendall or something.
And it could be forced mistakes too. I mean, it could be defenses forcing these mistakes as well.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Like you said, they're gonna know it's Tennessee. They're gonna know it's Tennessee's Rob, like you said, and 100% accurate. And Zeke, this offseason, man, it's not good, man. He's thinking he's the guy, man.
Gosh.
He's good at anything, man. Yeah, it's terrible.
Go get a Kindle and read a book. Like, do something. Get some Mahjong.
Yeah.
Relax.
Mm-hmm.
And Dak is trying. You know, you can see that Dak is trying. So that's the thing that, like you said, Rob, I agree. That's why I go make a maybe do sort of better, because the fact that he is trying to do all the right things and get the folks focused. But it's just it's going to be tough, to say the least. This is a great topic, guys. Gentlemen, we got about 21 minutes in. And we had some great conversation back and forth, America, through text about Mr. Lonzo Ball. And I'm going to let JQ defend his point later on, but let's start off with you, Rob. And will Lonzo Ball have a bigger impact on the Lakers than Roger's favorite player ever in history, Kobe Bryant?
You mean Roger's boyfriend?
Uh-oh.
Oh, man, he's one of Kobe's side chicks when he comes to Atlanta.
Listen,
he does love some Kobe a little unnaturally. I'm with you on that one. But, yeah, go ahead.
Robert Ford at Yahoo.com. I'm just saying, listen,
he's probably, He's probably waiting. He's probably waiting to comment right now. What are you talking about? You talking about my boyfriend? Boop, boop, boop. Here's going.
But keep my name out your mouth. Put some respect on it.
Go ahead.
Oh, man. But obviously, you're talking about somebody who's never really been a Kobe Bryant fan or a Laker fan for that matter.
Hater.
But to say he's going to have a impact on the Lakers and Kobe Bryant is very unfair, and I think very unrealistic at this moment. Do I think Lonzo Ball has the potential to be an all-star in the NBA? Absolutely. I know JQ is going to talk about it with the summer league, but that's the kind of effort and performance you need against that kind of competition if you're going to exceed at the big boy competition that starts in October.
But, you know, I like the way he pushes the pace. He sees the floor extremely well. He's a extremely gifted passer. And he's got an unorthodox release on his shot, but he's
got a
quick release on his shot. Yeah, I mean, it's you know, it's very unorthodox, but he's got a very quick release. You know, it's hard for defenders to, you know, to really grasp, you know, when he's going to launch it. I'm not going to say Steph Curry quick, but he's got a very quick release on his shot, which is really kind of hard for defenders to block his shot. And plus, he's 6'6 as it is already, and so most point guards won't have the height or elevation to block his shots. So, but he definitely, I think, is a piece to the puzzle for the Lakers going forward. I definitely think he's got all-star potential, but very unfair to say he's going to have the same effect on the Lakers as a Kobe Bryant had on the Lakers. So, I mean, we'll have to wait and see for that going forward, but I definitely think he has a very good chance of being an all-star. And I can definitely, you know, I definitely think Magic Johnson is going to be right there by his side the whole time, trying to make sure he continues to improve his game, especially at that position.
Yes, but I was going to say, he's kindred spirit in terms of, you know, kind of height at the point guard position. Before I get into the other piece, you know, because y'all got on me about the whole summer league thing, for this topic, you know, just two words, stop it. Stop it. No, he's not going to have the same impact that the Mamba had. Just come on, just if he does, I will give him all the credit in the world. But no, we're not going to even have that conversation after our summer league championship and MVP. Just stop.
Oh, yeah,
come on, man. I'm not saying
your fans
in
Las Vegas throwing a parade, man, for that summer league championship.
Yeah, man, they were tripping real hard for that. I'll say, come on, Lakers fans, we ain't saw that far where you get that hype about a summer league title. But as a Lakers fan, I want him to do well. Don't get me wrong. America, I was texting him about Kyle Kuzma. And the difference for me is when you got somebody, especially in the NBA draft, those top 10, maybe 13, 14 to the lottery picks are golden. Those are the guys you expect to come in and be multiple-time All-Stars, game changers for your franchise. A Kuzma at 27 is basically your GM like, okay, I'm looking for somebody that's going to be a seventh, eighth man that's going to be part of my bench mob that I can count on, but I'm not expecting him to necessarily move the needle. Me getting crunk about Kuzma doing that when he's facing other dudes that you would think on paper are just right where he is and dominating them to that level, you know. He was really good in the summer league. He's also a part of that draw to L.A. Of course, having a selfless point guard and Ball who's going to see the court and give the ball to the guys who want the ball, that's what they do. Score the ball, yes, it's going to make them attractive. But, you know, you're still banking on Ingram's potential. But when you see Kuzma do that, Ball played well, don't get me wrong. And you look at them with a Clarkson and also a Randall. Then you're looking back like, okay, L.A. You know, before you were just trying to sell us on being in L.A. and the movies and all that other stuff. But now you actually have a young, decent supporting cast to build around me. Now I can take you seriously. So that's why I was more hyped about Kuzma than I was about Ball, because this is not the NFL where the 27th pick in the first round is still really counted on to be a stud. You know, don't get it twisted. He's supposed to be a stud. But in the NBA, it's not like that. You're looking at, you know, a rotational piece really at best at the 27th pick in the first round. So that was huge, I think, for L.A. to show. Not only do we have Ball, and you've seen Randall do good things, you've seen Clarkson do good things, we all think Ingram can be a guy, but now we just got another guy in Ball's class and Kuzma that we're putting here. So now we're talking about four or five guys. You can come here and lead them and show them the way, but you feel like you got, you know, young stallions to run the court with you and play that open, you know, Showtime, Golden State kind of basketball. So I think it's all of it. That's why I'm more excited about Kuzma than what he did than I am about Ball.
Yeah, and I know you all don't remember my pre-draft comments.
Just here we go.
To show y'all weren't paying attention to my pre-draft comments. But if there's any callers out there that heard my pre-draft comments about Kyle Kuzma, please call in and give that information. It would be greatly appreciated. I got to go back to the show.
I didn't say you were lying. I didn't say you were lying. I just said I didn't remember. I never said that you didn't say that. I just want the record to reflect that. I never said
you
were lying.
424-243-9519, call in. You heard my Kyle Kuzma comments before the draft. Obviously, I'm hating went to the Lakers, of course. But, yeah, you know, if you go back to my pre-draft comments, Kyle Kuzma was very impressive in all the pre-draft workouts, all the pre-draft competitions. Was a real sleeper going into the draft. And really, I thought had a chance to really move up into the 15 to 20 range based on his workouts. He was really shooting the ball very well at all the pre-draft camps. Was really performing very well. So definitely this is one of the guys I had as a sleeper going into the draft. And if the Summer League is any indication, he has a chance to be a real, real steal for the Los Angeles Lakers and really has the potential to be a starting player, which, like JQ mentioned, when you get somebody at 27, you're just hoping for somebody to come in and be a role player at that stage in the draft. You know, you might get lucky and get a Draymond Green at 35 or something like that, but this guy has a real potential to be a real sleeper performer for the Lakers and, you know, probably a guy, in my opinion, has a better chance of being a better pro than a Julius Randle, too.
Whoa. Yep. Look at it. I was the one that said he was going to make Randle expendable. I said that on the text.
You sure did say that. Good call. Wow. Keep it going. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you good. Go for it.
Wow. Yeah, and both of you guys, like I said, it was fun, you know, definitely, you know, listening to both the texts going back and forth. It wasn't like we were picking out on you, JQ. We were just like saying how it was kind of reversed because we were like, oh, Thurman doesn't mean nothing. Like, hey, look at Lonzo Ball. I'm like, didn't you say Thurman didn't mean nothing?
No, I didn't say that about Lonzo Ball. I was talking about Kuzma.
But I'm just setting up the stage here because that's kind of how the interpretation was. But it's all good. So, you know, again, we'll talk about that. And agree with you 100% about Lonzo Ball having an impact. And good points, Rob, as well as far as the fact that you know Kuzman and you know we'll pull that tape and see what you got about that. I'm gonna throw out a couple numbers for you guys.
You can make a case that he could have really been the Summer League MVP. I mean,
Bumper didn't even play in the championship game. And Kuzman was 30.
Yeah, you could really make a case. You know, in my opinion, I think he should have been the Summer League MVP. Ball didn't even play in the championship game.
Yeah, we got to stop with the parades though in Las Vegas. Though they got to stop with that. That's ridiculous.
They're right. They want anything. Let's see here. Let's look at real quick. And we'll get something here. 0 points, 1 point, 5 points, 10 points, 2 points. That was somebody's first five games in the NBA. You want to take a guess at who that was?
Kobe Bryant.
Good call. That was Kobe Bryant's first five games. He didn't score in his first NBA game. Actually, that was the debut of Shaq. Ooh, hold on. What happened with this? I think somebody had like 35 points in his debut, whatever. But
he was the backup of Eddie Jones. Yeah.
Yep. So to say that he had a slow start would be an understatement. He kind of had a good, pretty decent. He turned out okay, right? So again, it's hard to put that. So you know, not to say that we're not taking anything from that, you know, but just kind of talking about, you know, certain players have, you know, bigger impacts and, you know, certain things that you kind of see too. So, you know, Lonzo Ball will be fine, and I just keep happening to harken back to that to the Lakers versus Celtics and just kind of how the, like you said, how the imprint of Magic is going to be on there. He's not quite a 6'9" point guard just yet, but. Having somebody like Magic will definitely propel his game to the next level for sure. Speaking of that, point guards, and let's talk about the Clippers and Chris Paul. I know for a fact that Rob is not a huge fan of Clippers and what they're doing. It looks like a kind of fire sale, but good news, JQ, they got back Blake Griffin, so all is well. can the Clippers succeed without Chris Paul? Helping throw it to you, JQ, kind of start this off, man.
Well, can we? I mean, it depends on what success is. Can we say they succeeded with Chris Paul? I mean, they never made it to the conference final. I mean, honest, they never made the playoffs. If you count what they thought they were going to get, then you don't count that as success because they never made the Western Conference Finals.
Wow.
We say it. You know, we got, you know, hot takes is what makes, you know, the TV and the radio business go around. So when he said that, I think a piece of it was a shot at Chris Paul because he didn't like him leaving. And they had butted heads over, you know, Chris Paul being mad about the way Austin Rivers is treated reportedly. But I understand the flip side of what he was saying is, or what I think he was trying to say, is that when you don't have a dominant point guard who's going to take the reins to be an alpha and make sure everybody's in their place before he makes the move in the offense, that you have other guys that have to share the ball and step up to fill that void. So if you do that, then you have more ball movement. So I think that's where he was going with it. But when you say it like that, after, you know, a kind of acrimonious split, it's going to come off as a shot at Chris Paul. And I'm not going to say, because I don't know Chris, Doc Rivers' full-on intention, what his psyche was when he said it. Could a piece of that be, you know, sour grapes? Yeah, I can see that. Also see the other. Because we don't have a guy that can – I'm sorry. Because you don't have a guy that can dominate like Chris Paul can to get everybody where it's supposed to be. So it's a little bit of a shot, but I think a good piece of it is actually right on point for what they have to do to you know, and for them to be competitive. I'm not saying be competitive like win the title competitive, but to be able to not sink to the bottom of the Western Conference, that's how they're going to have to play. They're going to have to share the ball.
Go ahead, Rob.
Well, yeah, I mean, look at what they got in return here. Patrick Beverley, Lou Williams. I can't remember the third player who they got in this trade. But they won't have, obviously, they won't even come close to having the impact that Chris Paul had with the Clippers. And as JQ mentioned, yeah, they still couldn't get past the second round of the playoffs. So, I mean,
right.
Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan, if the Clippers make the playoffs next season, they will be a 8 seed. They might not even make the playoffs in the strong Western Conference. And
correct.
Doc Rivers is a heck of a coach. But when you look at the Western Conference, I think we went over this, I don't know if it was last week or the week before that, you still got Golden State there. The Spurs are going to be in the hunt. I mean, I know they only added Rudy Gay and they bring him back Manu Ginobili for a 16th season. But if Gay is healthy, that could be a nice addition for him as well. The Spurs are going to be there in the hunt. The Rockets are going to be there in the hunt. We'll have to see if they're going to get Carmelo Anthony or not. But even if they keep their roster intact, you got Chris Paul, James Harden, Eric Gordon, you got Ryan Anderson. So you have some guys that can really score the basketball on your basketball team. And it seemed like the NBA has gone back to the way it was in the old days. It's really become more of an offensive game again, whereas you saw in the 90s, and maybe 2000 to 2010, it had become more of a defensive league. But now with the rule changes, the games become really wide open, and you have to have scoring on your basketball team. I mean, it seems like everybody in the league is on 110 to 125 points a game, in the National Basketball Association. So that's just three teams that we're talking about. OKC, I mean, you're talking about a team that has a legitimate chance to even get to the Western Conference Final with just Russell Westbrook and Paul George in the mix. They still have some very quality role players on that roster. So you look at OKC, contender, and they're in the mix as well in the Western Conference. I think Memphis is going to fall off a little bit. I think they're kind of in the same boat with the Clippers. They will be a borderline playoff team at best or not make the playoffs at all. And then you got to look at Minnesota, Jimmy mm-hmm. Butler, Andrew Wiggins, mm-hmm. Towns. So you're talking about a team, and they got Jeff Teague as well. So you can
yep.
easily make
yep.
a case for them being five team. Portland, of course, and they get Norris back, and that's a playoff team. Even my Pelicans with the full season with Davis and Cousins. Drew Holiday healthy, you're getting Rajon Rondo. You still probably need an athletic wing play on the team, but they could be a 6 or 7 seed in the Western Conference as well. So I can go on and on. The Western Conference is loaded. Utah, of course, is going to fall off without Gordon Hayward. But like I said, the Clippers at best is a borderline. If they're an 8 seed or they're not making the playoffs at all going into next season. And I probably even missed out on a few teams in the Western Conference as well, and I think it'd be playoff teams.
Yeah, because I think Denver could threaten that. I like what Denver is doing real quiet like as well. I think they overpaid for Ballman with that, but I think they could sneak into that 7th-8th. You know who I think the Clippers are this year? I think they are the Miami Heat of this past year, where they had to suffer all those losses where Wade leaves, and they've already lost LeBron, and then Chris Bosh is gone. So you went from having that super team, so to speak, to not having really any stars. I know Blake is considered a star, but I mean, yeah.
Okay.
But I think they're gonna have that hard time adjusting during the beginning, and then they may come on a little bit towards the end. But I think they just still end up on the outside looking in.
Good call. And that was a fantastic statement too about what is success too. We got about 4 minutes here. We'll talk about this. We got 2 minutes, and we'll get ready to set up the OT portion. But I'll throw this out there too, fellas. Whenever you're looking at the Clippers too, and you may slightly want to kind of give a nod to the management because, you know, and maybe this is kind of Chris Paul's point. They never really had that extra player. I mean, obviously, yeah, you think Blake is enough, and DeAndre, he was a big man, but he never really had a pretty really good decent shooting guard running mate to kind of have a big three too. And that's not a knock on Chris because he did all he could, but he never really had that other guy that kind of helped him out. You know, obviously Blake did his thing, but you need just like a straight up shooter, you know. We were talking about, you know, JR, you know, JJ Redick, you know, he was all right, but you need like that big time score to kind of help complement a great point guard like Chris Paul too. So
you need somebody
we'll
that can get their own bucket. You need somebody that's not 6 foot. Yes.
Yeah. Redick has got to be open. You got to create shots for him.
Yep. So that's I think that could be a situation where he wasn't able to succeed, and if you know the Clippers were able to get that guy, I don't know who that guy was, but maybe we're talking about a different scenario, and they could JQ get over that hump and make that next statement too. But they never were able to do that with Chris Paul. They have that now with Harden, and that's why I'm curious to see how they play out because Harden has his flaws for sure too. But again, I'm very excited to see how this plays out. And if you keep hearing the word on the street about Carmelo, that's going to be a whole other conversation too. But, you know, that could be a good or bad.
CJ and Dame would be nasty. Because Portland has pulled out of those 3-14 deals. Like, I'm not going to help another Western Conference team get better. We'd rather have Melo ourselves. And I think they're right on with that, you know. But you add him to those two, and they may not be able to, like Rob says, defend the chair. But, man, you got to outscore them dudes because they're going to put the ball in the basket.
That is true. Yeah, that's a good point, too. They're going a long way, Rob, from Buck Williams and Clyde Drexler, excuse me, back in the day, too. But
Kevin Duckworth.
Terry Porter.
Man.
Rome Kirsten.
Yeah, Porter.
Yeah,
that was
there you go.
Physical squad. All right, Rob, we got about 2 minutes and 28 seconds here. Before I jump on the next topic about LeBron, let's kind of set up the OT portion. You guys have your moment to kind of talk about everything that's happening, and we'll keep it moving here. So go ahead, Rob.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we certainly appreciate everyone for tuning in on tonight. We're getting ready to go to our OT portion. Unfortunately, we cannot bring you this portion of our show live. So if you click on the same link on tomorrow, we still got some more NBA for our Cavaliers fans, LeBron James fans. We're talking Cavs and LeBron. And we're going to even squeeze in a little Aaron Judge and Yankees talk in our OT portion. So you don't want to miss that. Click on the same link tomorrow. And you'll get the information that we have. Make sure you all let us know what you think about the show. You agree with us, disagree with us. You know. Make sure y'all dog out Andre and JQ. Say nice things about Robert. And we'll be all good.
See?
What night we rolling with?
See?
What night we rolling with on next week, gentlemen?
I think Thursday is good.
Thursday night on next week, people. We'll be on the air once again Thursday night. On next week, you don't want to miss us. I want to say the date is going to be July 27th, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. And my brothers, y'all know I'm just messing with you. Good night, people.
No, I know. I know we run out of time. I appreciate you good people for listening to us and downloading the podcast. And Ezekiel Elliott, again, come on, dog. you got to do better, man. Come on, St. Louis. You got
to
calm.
Get your $5 and make change.
Yeah. Yes, you got to relax. And find you a hobby, golf or something like that. You know, pick up putt-putt or something. But you cannot be in the spot every time it's jumping off. Please, for the love of everything that's holy, just go sit down. Good night, good people.
Sit down. Be humble. No, I love it. Zeke, if you haven't listened to the show, bro, just kind of chill. Like, I'm going to kind of emphasize. I'm going to kind of add on to what JQ was saying, man, because, you know, it's exciting you had a good season, man, but – this is gonna be rough, man. They gotta be gunning for him, man. So,
yeah.
Cowboys, you will not be surprised if this is gonna be a rough season for Zeke Elliott. That's just me. That's me predicting it right here on today's show, the 19th of July. All right, gentlemen, check that. That's next Tuesday, the 26th. We are officially lining. We are officially off of the live portion into the OT session. And gentlemen, let's kick it off and let's talk about LeBron James, as Rob set us up for. And I guess, should he blame himself for the Cavs' poor offseason is the question. And I'm going to kick this off with you, Rob. Your thoughts on this, man?
Well, I'm going to say no, because their cap situation, they're very limited on what they were able to do this offseason. They didn't really have the cap space or cap flexibility, even as much as the Warriors had this past season. So they're very limited. They're already over the luxury tax. And so they're very limited. The only way I could see him possibly helping the Cavs, if he really wanted to get his team better, he would have to take a substantial pay cut to allow them more flexibility when it comes to the salary cap, to being able to go out and get some other players. But they couldn't sign a big-name free agent to add to their current big three, because they just don't have the cap flexibility. And obviously there might have been a move or two out of their organization failed them, whether it be the owner or whether it be the general manager, but not – it doesn't seem like it's on LeBron James, but it seems like it's probably more management. But that would be the only way I could see him possibly helping this situation, is to restructure his contract and give them more salary cap space. It's really about the only way. And, you know, I mean, obviously, he obviously didn't want to do that. But that would have been the only way I could see them possibly, you know, helping the franchise.
You ask him to take a pay cut, Rob? What's wrong with you, bro?
Well, I mean, I didn't ask him to take a pay cut, but I'm just saying that's the only way he would have been able to give their organization
Durant did.
The flexibility.
Durant did.
The flexibility from a cap standpoint.
Okay, so.
But even with Durant got, LeBron would have to take a lot more, less than that. And because I don't think LeBron is still getting the max, if I'm not mistaken.
No.
But he would have to take a lot less than even what Durant receives in order to really help their cap situation.
Yeah, there's some definitely some discord, and I'm going to say no as well, but I'm going to say it for different reasons. Because I've read multiple stories at this point where they were on the verge of a deal with Jimmy Butler, had a deal in place, and then they fired the GM the same day and threw all of that in chaos, and Chicago pulled out and then made that deal with Minnesota. So on the backdrop of you were getting ready to acquire Jimmy Butler, and I can't see them giving up, you know, Kyrie. So you give up Kevin Love, you say, well, you need them both. But if you get Jimmy with those two, you know, you still got a pretty good shot. But you fire your GM on the same day. Like, there are some things really wrong with, you know, the upper management there in Cleveland. And I think LeBron is pretty much gone. And then the other story was they also had a deal in place from Paul George where Indiana pulled out on them at the last minute. And it didn't say why Indiana pulled out. But you're talking about the two coveted free agents on this trade market here since the deadline, even before the deadline, really. And you had supposedly deals in place for both of them. And we don't know the Indiana details, but we know the details of Chicago. If you firing your GM on that same day, I mean, that's pretty damning on the Cavs front office. So, you know, that to me lets me know that I think LeBron is gone. You know, LeBron would have maybe hung around and done what Rob said, like, well, he could opt out and sign a lower contract and get somebody next summer, like a Paul George or a Westbrook. But at the point that you had deals in place for those guys and you've already won Cleveland the championship and it fell through and you were tight with the GM and you didn't want to see him get fired in the first place and you lined all those things up, I think the writing is on the wall. I think he's gone. I don't know where he's going, but I think he's done.
Man, it is a perfect, perfect scenario that's setting up right now, man. Conspiracy brother here. Man, this is what's going to happen, man. You know what I'm saying? It's set up perfectly because if there's all this discord and dissension happening in Cleveland, LeBron can be like, yo, man, I tried to make this happen, but it didn't work, and I can exit, man. So it's a perfect way for him to leave Cleveland, as you said, JQ, man, because, you know, the guy that I had is gone. you know, yada, yada, yada. We ain't got enough cap space. You pretty much messed it up. You know, we tried to make all these deals. Didn't happen. I'm telling you, man, it's a perfect scenario for LeBron to make his exit, because then he doesn't look like the bad guy, which is what you don't want to do. So, you know.
Correct.
You know, how they're spinning it, whatever, it's a thing. LeBron, hey, I got your championship, Cleveland, over 50-something years, whatever. We're good to go.
Mm-hmm.
So he still comes out looking like the hero. So, you know,
yep.
that's my ultimate thing. And I think it's true, man. You know, everything, there's too much dissension going on. You didn't help the team, as Rob said. You didn't add enough of the top cream of the crop players. And what does Cleveland have? You clearly know that you don't have enough to beat the Warriors right now, unless you somehow get, like, lucky and find a diamond in the rough, which hasn't happened for Cleveland just yet. You're going with the exact same squad, and it's not looking good. So as we go into our next topic about the window closing on another championship in Cleveland, and I'm going to say yes at this juncture because, again,
close.
Unless he finds the fountain of youth or they can somehow figure out something, Cleveland, unfortunately, guys, that was it, man. You got your one championship. At least you got one. I'm not talking junk, I promise, but that's just kind of what my thoughts here. So what do you think about that, JQ?
Oh, no, it's not closing. Let's change the end of that. Closed. I think it's closed. And I think LeBron knows that it's closed. He saw it up close and personal with what Kevin Durant did and what they weren't able to pull in this offseason for all the things we just mentioned. It's closed. I mean, he's going to do his best to make, what, an eighth straight finals. But if you want to be honest, I mean, they might not beat Boston. And I hate Boston with
wow.
everything in
yeah.
it. But they may not beat Boston. I can't say that's a certainty. I mean, could they? Oh, yeah, I can see them beating Boston. I can't, but I don't see them sweeping them or 4-1 like last year. It's going to be nip and tuck, I think. And it's just, oh, wow. So I just lost power in the house. That's fantastic when it's 84 degrees outside. But, yeah, I think it's over. Good Lord have mercy. Yeah, the transformer, something just blew up. Yeah, oh, man, we're done on the whole street.
Okay.
It's back
okay.
on now. Something just happened. We're good.
Thought you were cooking something over there. All right.
Oh, no, come on, man.
I'm just giving you a hard
blowing
time.
Up like B12. Sorry.
give us your thoughts, man, before JQ about to, before he, hope he's okay over there, too. But go ahead, sir.
I'm good.
Yeah, but getting on this topic here, I still think the Cleveland is as constructed is better than the Boston Celtics. But, you know, this past season, really the Celtics got lucky with that one game. You know, it could have been a sweep. But I will agree that the Celtics are probably going to be more competitive for the two series. And I think what the thing we've got to look at here is let's look at the big three against the big three for Boston's big three against Cleveland's big three, LeBron James, Gordon Hayward. Who would you rather have?
Come on.
It's not that. What about 4-11? Boston is much stronger.
Isaiah Thomas. Kyrie Irving versus Isaiah Thomas.
Well, you're going to
have
Kyrie,
sure.
Yeah.
All right. That's two old calves right there.
Okay.
Kevin Love versus Al Horford. Who would you rather have?
Push.
Yeah,
it could
agree.
Be a push, but I think I'll still lean a little bit more toward Kevin Love, and the Celtics had to give away a little bit more of their bench to make room for Gordon Hayward this offseason too. So I still think the Cavs, at least for another year. Well, I mean, at least for another year, because LeBron James will be there for sure at least another year in Cleveland. So we'll see what happens beyond that, but. So I said the only thing they could possibly go in Cleveland's favor is still the hands-on favorite to win the Eastern Conference. And Boston looks like the only other team that has a shot at even contending with now, because it seems like the Eastern Conference just got even weaker this season. When you look at Paul George leaving to go to the Western Conference, Jimmy Butler is left to go to the Western Conference. I mean, you still have the Washington Wizards. The Atlanta Hawks just got a lot weaker. They don't have Dwight Howard or Paul Millsap on the team. So, overall, the conference has gotten extremely weaker. And so, the only thing that could possibly work in Cleveland's favor, and I don't root for injuries, but Cleveland, if they're healthy, they should easily get to the Eastern Conference Finals. And the only thing they can hope for is an injury or two by the Warriors from the key players. That's about the only way they can probably win a championship. So I won't say it's closed all the way, but I think it is closing, but that's their only hope because they can still get to the NBA Finals. And if they catch a break or two, you never know, they may still win another title.
Hold on for a quick second, Dre. Hold on for a quick second. But to Boston, and look at that.
Yeah.
And I don't like Boston. But you look at Boston's, the Boston's next. You talk about Jason Tatum looking pretty good. You're talking about Jalen Brown. You're talking about Crowder.
You're talking next
about
year,
Marcus,
though. Those guys are young.
Jay Crowder.
And Marcus,
Jay Crowder.
And Jay Crowder and Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart. So those four guys, I would take those four over J.R. Smith, Amon Shumpert, Cal Korver, and Tristan Thompson. I would take those four over those four. So, you're top heavy if you're Cleveland. Those four from Boston over Cleveland's four, those next four, absolutely.
Those guys are young.
It's tough.
I still, man, if you look at those games last season, they weren't even close. They was winning those games by like 40 points. I mean, they wasn't even close.
Okay.
Those games weren't even close. Gordon Hayward is not going to make that big of a difference right away.
I didn't name him a number. I gave him a first year. I think it's 2-0-1. I think there's a tie with Kevin Love and Al Horford. But those next four,
I think it's
3-1.
Boston
I think
two games, though. I think they can win two games. They'll be better.
I still think those next four, I would give 3-1, if not 4-0, to Boston. So that makes up for being
2-0. But the role players don't carry as much weight, though.
Yes, it does.
Almost count as one compared to the
does.
Big three.
I don't know, Rob.
We have to agree.
So you all are seriously considering that Boston will beat Cleveland?
I think it's going to go 7.
But no, are you saying they're going to beat Cleveland?
I can't say they're going to beat Cleveland. But
so who do you know? If you had to say right now who's going to win between Boston and Cleveland, who's going to win?
Oh, I'm gonna take Cleveland right now.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
I'm not saying Cleveland can't do it.
It's
closer than
easy.
You think.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, don't get me wrong. I think Boston is long-term favorite in Eastern Conference, but we're talking next year right now.
I'm talking next year. I wouldn't be shocked if Boston beat Cleveland. All the headlines that are coming out about Cleveland.
But who you predicting to win it?
Once they start playing,
you know, they're going to all that stuff go out the window once they start playing.
My only point to this is this, Rob. If the rest of the free world, if Boston beats Cleveland next year, it's going to be oh my God, I can't believe that happened. I don't think me and Dre would feel like that. We would be like, well, I'm not surprised, you know, that they did that. I think a lot of other people would be surprised. I'm just saying I wouldn't be surprised. I think they have closed the gap significantly more than I think people are giving them credit from the outside.
I think they closed the gap to win 2 games.
Wow. All right.
So, Andre, who are you predicting?
I'm predicting Boston, man. I mean, like I said, because again, I think they made it, man. Because again, I mean, you lose Little your bench, but again, that was a big challenge. I mean, Cleveland's getting older, man. LeBron's getting older. I mean, he's still LeBron, but at the end of the day, that's a huge. Gordon Hayward was a huge get. I mean, he single-handedly, but that Utah team was tough with him in there. So now you add a guy that's that knows that system. I mean, I'm telling you, man, that's going to make an impact. Now, again, Isaiah Thomas, they were still able to kind of do some things whenever Isaiah Thomas had his little challenges.
He was a great offensive player, but he won't be able to stop the freight train of LeBron James.
Well, there's really nobody that can do that.
We're not asking to stop. No, but I'm saying that if you think about – now we're talking about a team, you know, a team concept too, like J.Q. was talking about.
Those games were 40-point
blowouts. Cleveland don't have – teams have been blown out before. You got to win a series. But like I said, I think they've closed the gap like we've talked about. And I think
they have closed the gap.
There are a couple injuries and Cleveland, you know, but Boston can survive a couple of things now. So I think Boston is more equipped, like you said – to kind of make that jump too. Are they completely there yet? Of course not. They got young players, but I'm telling you, that was a huge get with having Gordon Hayward. And don't sleep on Boston. I agree with JQ. I don't like Boston. I do think they've made enough changes to kind of be like, it's not going to be a cakewalk. You're not going to come in here and whoop our tail like you did before. That's all I'm saying. So
all I'm asking is who's gonna win the series. I'm not saying they definitely.
Said
I think
I
he said
Boston.
Boston.
I
went,
he
went out on that.
I think you've been smoking too much weed
Boston.
With Snoop Dogg, but
you the one that hanging with your boy Boogie Cousins down there. We'll talk about this later, man. So anyway, we'll let you. I mean
at least JQ,
you know,
he's saying he's still going with Cleveland. But
well, I mean, like I said, I was going with both predictions, but I'm just saying, you know, if I'm, you know, I got to be different. But like I said, I'm not. I ain't throwing mortgages or anything on it, but, you know, like I said, I'm thinking, hey, you know, if now's the time to get them, let's get them now. So there's too many variables, like Kevin Love can get hurt, you know, things can happen. Everyone can get hurt. You don't wish that on different teams, too, but I'm just saying there's a lot of different things.
The injuries, like I said, I'm not predicting any, I'm not wishing for any injuries, but if they're both healthy, I still think Cleveland's a better team. And just like I think Golden State is still a better team if they're still all healthy.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but I think Golden State's gap in the I still think Golden State's gap in the Western Conference is still bigger than Cleveland's gap in the Eastern Conference because of Boston and what they did. So that's all I'm saying. I still, yeah.
Yep.
But
all right,
the Western
gentlemen.
Conference is a lot deeper than the Eastern Conference. So it's going to be a lot easier for Cleveland to get to the Eastern Conference Finals and be well rested, and you know going into. That situation. So,
yeah. No, agreed. I would agree with that.
All right. So it's at 12:00. I'm not quite sure. I'm a little past. This is kind of rare. I'm not sure the lady's gonna cut us off. So I'm just gonna say that let's just wrap up the show just to make sure because she can cut us off at any second. Because we're kind of new territory here. I don't know if it's gonna be 2 minutes, 5 minutes. So, I'm gonna. So,
well, JQ was right about the basketball talk. Alone could take 30 minutes.
I told you.
Yeah, you're right. Go ahead.
Great, Rob.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we certainly appreciate you all tuning in. Obviously, we get into some intense discussions, which makes it a lot of fun, so you don't want to miss us on next Thursday night. We're going to have the same conversations. We still got to get to – I know training camps for a lot of teams are going to be starting on next week, so we're going to eventually start getting to our football previews, both college and the NFL. You don't want to miss it. Obviously, the basketball offseason is still – a lot of things are going on as far as free agency and trades, and summer league is over, but still a lot of things happening in the basketball world that we're going to keep you abreast of as well as they're happening. So you don't want to miss us once again next Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central for our friends in Hawaii. Aloha. Make that 5 p.m. on next week. Good night, people.
See, Rob talking about me over again, his sip on. Appreciate you, good people, for downloading the podcast and listening to the OT. Holler at you next week. Yeah, we got to get some football going here soon because it's real dry without football. Let's go football. Holler at you.
Oh my goodness, that's what's up. That's what's
and pads
up.
Are gonna be popping next week. People, get ready.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
The camps are starting. That's gonna be exciting. So again, I think it's most better for Thursday nights to have our cast of characters too. So Wednesday is kind of our calm night too. So. Anyway, it's all good, gentlemen. It's always a pleasure sharing the field of battle with you. Like I said, I could keep it going. I'm just not quite sure when Lady's going to cut us off, man. So this is definitely new territory. So I say we cut out while we're ahead. Anyway, be good. Be good. Till the next show, we'll talk to you soon. Good night, people.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for listening to Black Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Goodbye. That's exactly right. Rob knows it. He knows the signature. Good night.
Good night, people.
Good night, people.
All right, brother.